the midst of our review of Yeshayah Isaiah 28, whereby Yahweh speaks of Shaul as being deadly. Shaul is Paul. He is the founder of the Christian religion. He's the author of half of the Christian New Testament. And in that review of an exposure and condemnation of Shaul, the Christian apostle, one of the apostle Paul, in Yeshayah, we began at the beginning of this particular discussion, and what we found was that God begins it by talking in broad terms about Christianity, about presumptuousness, about arrogance, about claiming to have God's authorization, as does, for example, the Roman Catholic Church, but not having it at all, in fact, being opposed to God. And it uses Ephraim and intoxication to speak of the problem that causes so many who are victimized by it to lose the ability to think, to lose the ability to be rational. That's why intoxication is used. And Ephraim is used because Ephraim is Yahweh's means of denoting a human institution that has mixed government and religion in a way that is counter to God. Ephraim, associated with Baal, the Lord, as has Christianity, as has Islam. And Ephraim was wrong, according to God. And Ephraim was considered dead from God's perspective, estranged from the covenant. And so Ephraim, in opposition to God, according to its presentation in Hosea, is defined as religious rebellion against God. And so that's how Yeshayah 28 begins. Woe to the presumptuousness, the arrogance and conceit of the leaders, the leadership, the political and religious leadership, of the intoxicated, of those who were inebriated, whose judgment and reasoning have been impaired, of Ephraim, which is synonymous in the book of Hosea, with religions in league with the Lord, who is Satan. Well, as we were studying this, because this passage was sent to us by one of our favorite people, particularly for those of you who listen to the Shabbat program on Yada Yada Radio on Friday evenings, William, the elevator man, sent us this and said, you know, there's a reference here in that passage to Shaul, and he says, as I was doing my study, he says, I'm really convinced that it's the Shaul that was the author of the Christian New Testament. And I began to translate it from the beginning and concurred with him. So I received this letter yesterday from somebody who has been a regular contributor to this program. He is one of the brightest people we've all had the opportunity to benefit from listening to. His name is Roy. He is the gentleman who presented us the concept of dimensionality that explains that as we increase dimensions, we increase infinitely in all possible ways, and that it is extraordinarily easy for a four-dimensional construct, for example, to conceive in a three-dimensional realm. And just as it is for a five-dimensional construct, someone in the fifth dimension, to create a four-dimensional realm. And to go from three and a half dimensions to four dimensions, and to five and six, and ultimately to seven dimensions, it's an infinite increase in capability, power, ability, all up the ladder. Well, he sent me this note. This is from Roy. He says, I agree that William's interpretation of Yeshayah, Isaiah 28, 15, and 18, refers to Shaul. Shaul is the wannabe Apostle Paul. First, you showed that Shaul was a false prophet. Then he is the plague of death, which is how Yahweh presents them exactly 666 years before he'd write his first letter, the letter to the Galatians, that Yahweh accuses Shaul specifically by name as the plague of death. Talks about his audience, talks about his character, talks about his criticisms, talks about his approach, talks about his personality, and then names him by name, and even denotes the time that he would write, as I say, 666 years in advance, that the author of half the Christian New Testament was the plague of death. And he says, now after that, everything falls into place. That was my view, by the way, right? Is that once you see Shaul from Yahweh's eyes, once you see Shaul from the presentation, the prophetic portrait that Yahweh paints of Shaul as the plague of death in Chabaouk Habakkuk, in the first, second, and third chapters of that prophetic book, then everything falls into place. Extending, and he says, what's amazing is that it wasn't obvious to us, and that's my biggest issue too. It is so obvious. God made it so obvious that Paul was a complete fraud. I mean, Paul's own writings made it obvious that he was a fraud. He said he was demon-possessed. He admitted to being insane. He admitted to being a sexual pervert. He admits openly that he is opposed to circumcision and to the Torah. He claims to speak for Yahusha and yet never once cites him. Yes, I know that there is a statement in one of his letters that where Paul claims to be citing him, but the citation is taken out of context. And it's misrepresented. It's wrong. And so you can't count that as a citation. So he never cites it. It should have been obvious based on the writing quality, based upon the internal contradictions, based upon the affinity that Paul has for Gnosticism and this rivalry between the flesh and the spirit, his antagonism towards the Torah and to the sign of the covenant circumcision, that his insistence that the covenant memorialized in the Torah was of Hagar, as he writes in Galatians, and in slaves, that it ought to have been obvious to us that he was a complete fraud. But Yahweh makes it obvious. Yahusha makes it obvious. Yahusha gives us at least a dozen, maybe more, statements that openly condemn Paul and no one else that could possibly fit that condemnation. What Roy found, though, I think was riveting. I occasionally get breathless. I occasionally get goosebumps. I did when I was reading what he had to say, because where Yahweh says that he's divorcing himself of an entire institution, in this case, the Northern Kingdom, which he calls Ephraim. He doesn't call it the Northern Kingdom. He calls it Ephraim. And he speaks of Ephraim as those people who are politically and religiously in defiance of him, who are in overt opposition to him, who have become unfaithful, adulterous, because of their religious affinity for the gods of the Goyim, for false gods, for gods based upon the mythology of Babylon and Assyria, Egypt. And so Ephraim is this foe that God has expressed that is estranged from him, that are not his children, that are dead to him because of their religion. You would have thought that in the midst of that, Yahweh would raise our sights so that we see the most prevalent religion to ever be conceived in opposition to God, Christianity, and the founder of the Christian religion, Paul. You would expect him to do that. That's just the way he is. You know, it's one thing 666 years in advance to tell us that the Torahless one would be Paul. And he did. It's another thing in the greatest of the prophetic declarations in Isaiah, Yashayah, for him to zero in on Paul and equate him with religious death. And he did. That's why we're studying the 28th chapter. But in the book that Yahweh has the author marry a temple prostitute, a religious prostitute, so that he would understand what it's like to have to deal with the scum of religion and his aversion to religion, where he equates all of this to Ephraim, you would expect there for him to zero in on the founder of the largest religion that man has ever conceived, the religion of Christianity, and its author, Paul, whose given name was Shaul. And in fact, he does. That's what this letter from Roy points out, and I missed it. He says that what's amazing is that it wasn't obvious before. He says, extending William's idea, I have looked up many places where Sheol or Shaul are mentioned, and there's no distinction in the Hebrew lettering. I mean, every place you see Sheol, it can be rendered Shaul or Sheol, and they are synonymous. Exactly the same letters. So you have to determine in each case, is he talking about an individual or is he talking about a place? Now in Chabaouk, it's obvious. Absolutely obvious and completely and totally undeniable. And how do we know that? Because he routinely refers to Shaul as a soul. Places don't have souls. He especially refers to Sheol in the singular masculine with his pronouns. One man with a soul named Shaul. So there it's obvious. But what about the other places where we are left to wonder, is God talking about Sheol, the place of separation from him, or Shaul, the man who caused the most people in human history to be separated from God? The founder of the world's most popular religion, Christianity, or the place that he has sent unwitting souls? Extending this idea that Yahweh not only openly condemned Shaul, the wannabe apostle Paul, as a false prophet and Chabaouk, and that he exposed and condemned him again a second time, calling him the plague of death in Yashayah Isaiah 28. It makes complete sense that Yahweh would have exposed and condemned him in Hosea. And that's what we find. He begins this as Roy's analysis. He says, some clearly refer to the grave, the place of separation from Yahweh, to death. And others have more than one meaning. The one I find the most convincing is in Hosea 13:14. He says, I know you translated it before. He says, quite correctly. But with the benefit of hindsight, with the proper perspective, I'd like to propose another meaning, writes Roy. Now, when I first translated Hosea, it was the first volume I wrote for Yada Yah. It was over a decade ago. Oh my, have we ever learned and grown and been enlightened by Yahweh since that time. When I wrote Hosea, I was clueless about Paul. I was clueless about the claims of a Christian New Testament. I was clueless about the idea that the covenant had not yet been renewed. I didn't know squat compared to what I know now. And so, with the benefit of having learned so much over this past decade, Roy is proposing a different translation of Sheol to Shaul in Hosea 13:14. He says, this is how it reads, from the possession of Shaul, of Christianity, I shall redeem Gaal them. I shall, Gaal speaks of redemption in terms of buying back and rolling away the barricade to the doorway. From the possession, the control, the lordship, from enslavement to, from being controlled by Shaul, I shall redeem them by rolling away the barrier to the doorway. From the plague of death, Mawa. He's referring to Shaul, the founder of the Christian religion, author of half the Christian New Testament. Once again, as the plague of death, the very individual from whom Yahweh is going to redeem them and open the doorway to life. And by the way, there is no ability of Yahweh to open a doorway to redeem people from Sheol. Sheol is the place of separation from him. You only go to Sheol if you have died having chosen of your own volition to misrepresent Yahweh, to lead people away from Yahweh. Shaul is in Sheol. There's nothing that anyone can do for him. Yahweh couldn't redeem him, couldn't roll away the doorway to Sheol to let him out. Even Yahweh could not do that. There is no redemption for that. That's the third statement he etched in stone. There is no forgiveness for what Shaul did. So this notion that that he's going to redeem people from and roll away the doorway blocking Sheol, the place of separation that was designed for Satan, his demons, the fallen messengers who have been in opposition to him, and those who have leagued with them, is impossible. But you can absolutely redeem someone from Pauline Christianity. I'm an example. I would say that perhaps even the majority of those who have come to embrace the covenant were once Christians. We were once controlled by Pauline doctrine, influenced by it, certainly, rendered incapable of exercising good judgment as a result of it. And so we, in fact, can be redeemed from him, from his poison pen, from the plague of death that would otherwise have claimed our souls, as it has claimed billions upon billions of souls throughout the past 2,000 years. We can be revived and renewed for having been a Christian, but not for going to Sheol. From the possession of Shaul, from the possession of Saint Paul, from the possession of the Apostle Paul, from the control of Christianity, from the Christian New Testament's influence in their lives, I will redeem them. From the plague of death, I shall deliver them. Where is your plague of death? Where is your destruction? Oh, Shaul, oh, Paul, oh, Christianity, oh, Christian and New Testament, where is your plague of death? Where is your destruction? Because Yahweh says, I'm going to redeem them from it. All of them, no. Some of them, yes. I'm an example. I was redeemed from the plague of death. I was a Christian. I'm not a Christian because I've been redeemed from it. How about you? Are you going to be among those that Yahweh says, I redeem them for the plague of death, I redeem them from destruction? Are you? Now think about this for a moment. Yahweh is not saying that he can redeem those sent to Sheol. He can't. He says that those who lift up and promote, even those who tolerate deadly and deceitful, lifeless doctrines that negate the value and importance of my name, I will never forgive. So he can't. Sheol is an eternal prison for those who have done what Paul has done. Can't redeem them. And he can't even cause them to be given the benefit, and by comparison, of death. They're not dead. No, those in Sheol are eternally alive. So it makes no sense to speak of them as being redeemed from death and destruction. You see, the death and destruction of a soul is the antithesis of Sheol. In Sheol, souls are immortal. They're not destroyed. It's eternal separation from God. So the only rational and informed translation, transliteration, actually, of S-H-O-W-E-L is Shaul. Because in Pauline Christianity, those who are indoctrinated by it, those inflicted with this plague of death that is the religion of Christianity and its New Testament and its founder, Paul, you can be redeemed from that. And the very consequence of being deceived by the likes of Paul and his poison pen is not eternal separation from God. The overwhelming preponderance of Christians have been deceived. They've been misled. They've been played for fools. Their souls are squandered. Their souls are going to die and then be destroyed, ceasing to exist. But from that, before they die, such souls can be redeemed when they come to realize that Christianity is a plague of death. That Christianity will lead to the destruction of their souls. And if they walk away from the religion, if they disassociate themselves from the religion, and then with an open mind come to pay attention to the instructions and the guidance that Yahweh provided in his Torah about the path that we can walk to Yahweh, to be engaged in a relationship with him, and that the means that he has detailed for us to engage and participate in his covenant family, then this is their opportunity. And Yahweh is saying, I will act, and I will intervene, and I will engage, and I will roll away that blockade to the door of life, which is Passover. And I will redeem, which occurs on matzah, those that have been under the control, the influence of the plague of death, which is Pauline Christianity. He did it for me. And I want to tell you, it's not a case of that I was a I had much to do with the beginning of this. I was lost. Yahweh reached out to me before I knew him. He pointed the direction home. Helped me every step of the way. And it's appropriate for him to do so because I can talk about my path away from being controlled and influenced by Pauline Christianity and its New Testament to coming away from it, coming to despise it, to coming to the point where I exposing and condemning it, being free of it so that I could walk to Yahweh and engage in his covenant as he provided the guidance to it in his Torah. I can now express that in the ordinary flow of time But you see, Yahweh is not constrained by the ordinary flow of time. He's a seven-dimensional construct. He is so far beyond even the fourth dimension that I'm stuck in, that from his perspective, I have always been part of his family. And therefore, he was in a position to help me before I was even part of his family, from my perspective in time. Yahweh rolled away that blockade of the doorway that is Pesach. He redeemed me on Matzah, just as he has promised to do here. The plague of death no longer affects me. It is no longer my fate to have my soul destroyed. And what he has done for me, he would love to do for you. For everyone who is listening, please come to realize, read Questioning Paul, come to recognize that Yahweh despises this man and the religion that he founded, and the book whose letters comprise its mantra. Despises it. Calls it the plague of death. It's the very thing that God is trying to save us from. Rather than Christianity providing the means to salvation, it's the very thing that Yahweh here in Hosea is telling us that he is saving us from. Come to realize that Christianity will absolutely cause your soul to die and to cease to exist. That is, if you are a victim of it. If you're a promoter of it, if you're a pastor, a priest, a higher up in the church, if you are a Christian author, if you are a televangelist, if you're promoting the religion, you're off to Sheol. You'll find the founder of your religion there. You'll find it to be a very religious place. But if you're a victim of Christianity, if it has influenced your thinking, and if it has corrupted your ability to exercise good judgment, to evaluate the evidence that has been there before your eyes all of this time that you have just previously ignored, if you'll stop ignoring it and consider it and come to know what we know, that the Christian New Testament is a fraud. The covenant has not yet been renewed. Yahusha was Torah observant. Paul was demon-possessed. He is the plague of death. Now that will liberate you. And it will help you open your eyes, and it's the antidote for this terrible plague. But it only gets you halfway home. The rest of the way is provided by Yahweh, the guidance he has provided in his Torah. I would encourage you to read yadayah.com if you do not yet know Yahweh. I would encourage you to read An Introduction to God if you want to understand the guidance that he has provided for us to engage in the covenant and to meet with him and to camp out with him for all eternity, where you can find the doorway to life, where you will find the threshold, the welcome mat to his home that removes Christianity, this plague of death, and its stench and its malignancy from our souls. If you want to find how to become adopted into Yahweh's family, then read introtogod.org. Go, as we said at the beginning of this program, to clariters.com. All three books are available for you, or you can read them free online. But value your soul, your children's souls, your parents' souls, sufficiently to take advantage of this wonderful gift of life, this reprieve from religious corruption that Yahweh is offering. Here in the midst of Hosea, Yahweh is saying, and Roy is right, there's only one rational and informed way, meaningful and accurate way to transliterate Shaul in this passage. From the control of, the influence of Shaul, Christianity. I shall redeem them. From the plague of death, I shall deliver them. Where is your plague of death? Where is your destruction? O Shaul, O Christian New Testament, O Gospel of Grace. In this context, Roy writes, I think it is at least as good an interpretation when you consider what went before. Well, no, it's not as good, Roy. It's the only rational translation. He writes where this is Hosea 13:11, three verses, three statements prior. Where is your sovereign now to save you in all of your cities and your rulers whom you said, give me a sovereign and rulers? Remember when Israel said, I want a ruler. I want a ruler, a king like other nations. And Yahweh said, no, don't do that. He will abuse you in every possible way. Wasn't that king's name Shaul? I would be remiss, now that I've heard it for the second time, not to expose and condemn Patriot Necklace, that ad that spoke of bullets as earrings, with a percentage of your purchase going to support the military. That is pathetic. If there was anything that was contrary to the message of this show, that's brain dead. It shows everything, though, that I guess we're opposed to. Yes, indeed. Patriotism displayed in a donation to the military and the symbolism of wearing bullets as earrings. There was an ad in the first segment, though, that I did want to acknowledge. It's the music from the Psalms of Dode to David. It is true that hidden in the alphabetic characters that comprise the words of Dode's Psalms, which are lyrics set to music, Mizmor, we can replicate the harp sounds, the tones that go with the words. And I have heard the music played that is based upon the notes that are found in the letters that Shaul chose. And the music is extraordinary. It is inviting. It is welcoming. It is uplifting. The music is nearly as beautiful and majestic as are the words themselves, which score it. Now returning to Hosea. It is Paul that spoke of two sovereigns. He said that he was controlled by a messenger from Satan, which means that his lord, his sovereign, was Satan. But he was also the one who was the only one who claimed to speak for God that said that God empowered human governments. And that you submit to human governments because God put them there for your good. And so God says, where is your government now? Where is your sovereign now to save you and all of your cities? Where are your rulers from whom you said, give me a sovereign and a ruler? Which brings us right back to the prophetic presentation of King Saul, of King Shaul, as almost every aspect of his life mirrors the one of the apostle Shaul, particularly in his animosity to the Torah and to Yahweh. 3:13-12 of Hosea mentions Ephraim, which is Yah's metaphor for religious influence within a society. And 13:13, particularly a religion that is loyal to the Lord, whom Paul admitted possessed him. And from 13:13 says, labor pains which may refer to end times prophecy. Yes, Yahweh talks to us about the seven things that are going to appear like labor pains prior to his return. Labor pains increase in frequency and magnitude prior to birth. And the labor pains of this, of the awakening, because there'll be an increase in terrorism, an increase in pestilence and disease, an increase in famines, an increase in hurricanes and tornadoes and in earthquakes. There'll be an increase in Torahlessness. All leading up to the tribulation, where Yahweh will finally roll away that stone and redeem those who had previously been trapped, ensnared by, controlled by, influenced by Christianity, and cause them to be part of his family. And it is set into these last days that he'll finally win the victory, at least with thousands of souls, over the great enemy that has been Pauline Christianity. Now, it is also interesting that in perhaps the second most important of all psalms, maybe the third most important, if I were to say that the most important psalm is 119 that tells us how to observe the Torah, and then Psalm 22 that is the eyewitness account to what occurred in 33 CE, 4000 Yah, as Yosha fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. But there's also the 88th psalm, which is also an eyewitness account of that important time. And he says, "For my soul has enough of evil, and my existence is plagued and afflicted by Sha'ul."